And good morning. It is Friday, April the 16th, 2021, 13 minutes past the hour, and you are tuned into the Pastor Spot here on WWGH Radio, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. Now remember, this program can be live every Friday morning, heard live every Friday morning at 11:15 a.m., repeat Sunday morning at 8:15 a.m., and Wednesday afternoons, 3:15 p.m. Also, go to the website, WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Under Program Archives, and you will see every episode dating back to the beginning. You can listen live there as well. And now we turn to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Pastor Whitaker, how are you?
Good morning, Scott. Scott, could you possibly move just to your right a little
bit? I can.
Thank you. Because when I'm talking to you, I'm looking away from the camera. So we're good.
We're good. We're all lined up
hey,
now.
Hey, it's great to be here this morning. We're feeling a little of that chilliness that we weren't used to. But, man, we've had some pretty beautiful weather when it comes right down to it.
We really have.
And it's pretty neat stuff going on. I am Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. And that's who, of course, we're sponsored by, along with Jeff Spiegel Shop in Prospect and Mid-Ohio Insurance Solutions, which is all over Marion County, even outside Marion County. So for all your insurance needs. What a beautiful day. And I got a busy one planned. 2 hours from now, I think I'll be in Shelby. But it's a lot of running today. But, you know, there's some things that have been laid on my heart this week to talk about that I think are important things. And it goes back to how we are called in Scripture to treat one another, and how we are to what kind of people we're supposed to be. And in Scripture we're told to that we are to reflect Christ and reflect who Christ is and reflect His love. And something that really struck me this week, mainly because of a situation that I had caught, that I had heard, and I'd heard it so many times in so many different ways from so many different people, that I thought maybe it was something we would address. And I'm going to put this out there. I'll get to your thoughts, and then I'll go on. A lot of times, when there's someone in your workplace or your church or your just whatever area you're in where people are gathering or people around you, and they seem to be a, you know the old term, negative Nancy? Someone that's always got a frown on their face, and you say, wow, what'd I do to that guy type of a thing. I mean, when you, for no reason, they're just that way. And someone close to them will say, or someone that, oh, you just got to know them. That's just the way they are. I'm going to say, I don't buy that. And now I'm going to pass it off to you.
Well, I think that's probably true, because I think that a negative attitude is probably brought about by something in somebody's life. So, you know, just saying, well, that's the way they are, I don't know if that really gets it. There's something that's making them that way. Now, sometimes I do believe that, this is a big subject, because I don't believe we can fix everybody's problems.
I don't think.
Right.
Of course not.
No. And I think sometimes we go in with that mentality, though.
Absolutely.
We say, well, you know, we can fix them. Just give us time, we'll fix them. When that really doesn't happen. And I think that's the mistake we make in those cases. Now, is that just the way they are? Probably not. But can we always fix it? Probably not.
And I think what we can do, we can lead and direct. We can guide. But it's always up to the individual to decide what's going to come out of them, what they're going to be, how they're going to relate to things. And another area that I don't want to make a mistake in is that sometimes people are extremely, extremely shy. And that may come across as being unfriendly. But I can say this. There are those people, and I know many of them, and I love many of them that I know, that are very shy people and just don't do well in public. But here's the key. You can even be shy with a smile.
Well, it's interesting, because a lot of people who I have run into will say, this is an interesting, I don't know if I've ever told this on this story, but Jerry Lewis was a big deal. And Jerry, this is Jerry Lewis's story. He said he was performing once on stage. He was going around the country just doing a one-person show. And he said, this is really what fame is all about. And he says he's on in the wing getting ready to be announced to go out on stage that night. And he's trying to get his mind into what he's going to do. And the cleaning woman in the theater is standing over there beside him. And she all of a sudden, oh my gosh, Jerry Lewis, it's such a pleasure to meet you. It's the thrill of my life. Thank you for what you do for on Labor Day for the MDA kids. And I've loved your movies all your life. And she's really, you know, just loves the guy. And he's being very nice and very cordial to her. But he's also thinking, I've got to go on stage here in a second. And she actually picks up the phone in the wing of the theater and says, oh, if you could only just talk to my mother, just say hello to her, it would mean so much to her, it would make her life. And he says, I'm sorry, I've got to go out on stage, I really can't do it. And her response was, I hope you die from cancer.
Oh my word.
So that to me is just about what it is. You know, we love you until you
we
do
know.
Something yeah, until you do something we don't like.
Oh, trust me, I'm a pastor.
Yeah,
I get those. That doesn't happen very often, though. But yeah, people will say, "Oh, Pastor, you're the best. We love you. Oh, your message is great today." And when and then when something happens, maybe you say something or do something, or something's not going in the direction they want, and they decide to go another direction. That up goes the nose, and you didn't. Well, I thought you loved me a week ago. I mean, love must be cheap.
You know, isn't it interesting that we can do 10,000 good things in our life, and if you do one wrong thing,
that's what you're.
That's what you. That, well, that's what they remember you for. I don't know if that's what the public remembers you for, but I think that's what that person remembers you for.
Right. I've been reading a lot of stories lately about people, backstories on people. I love to read backstories because what is in front of you is always the result of a backstory every time. And some people have such interesting backstories where they came from. Don Knotts, for instance, you know, wow, he didn't have the best childhood, but man, did he know how to make people laugh. And I think that, you know, back to where I was, you know, the Bible tells us we'll know Christians by their love. And love doesn't carry a frown. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying that we compromise principles. I'm not saying any of that kind of stuff. What I'm saying is that everyone deserves a smile. And is that not true? I believe they do. I mean, just an approach in how you approach people. It's very hard to tell people that, you know, I'm a Christian. And I go to church here, or I love people, or I care so much about people. And then you see them, and they're just really down on things all the time. And maybe you walk by them, and it's, you know, I people say, oh, you know, they're just shy. They're just an introvert. I'm sorry, an introvert can smile. And an introvert can take 1 second to say hi before they shy and duck away. They can do it with a smile. And what you know is that person must be horribly shy, but they're very nice because they just smiled at me. And you see the difference?
You know, I'll tell you, introversion is interesting because I have known people who were so incredibly uncomfortable in a setting of more than three people that a lot of people, you know, they never say it while the event's going on, but let's say that you have 10 people out to dinner, and these 10 people don't necessarily know each other that well. And if one is completely untalkative and nothing more than a hello when they're responded to, they never say it at dinner, but they will come up afterwards to you, and they'll say, well, didn't that person like us? Why were they so quiet? And really, it has nothing to do with the people at all. It's and sometimes other personalities, people like that, they get overwhelmed by them.
I agree. But I think, you know, an introvert can be kind. An introvert can give a smile on their way by as they're trying to duck everybody because they're just horrified in a crowd. And I have someone close to me, very close to me, that has battled that their entire life. And it was very hard for me to recognize years ago because I am not an introvert. I never met someone I didn't know. I never met someone that I didn't choose to be a friend with, if you know, if it worked. And you know, when you're around people that they're not that way, you have to learn to understand them. But I guess what I'm getting about is, it's, you can be kind and be an introvert. People love a kind introvert. They recognize that they are, but it's been too common, I think, in our society today, that we make excuses for how everyone acts. And you've got to get to understand this person, then you'll understand why they're such a jerk. Seriously, there's no reason for anybody to be a jerk, you know.
Well, see, I don't even get that explanation, because if I get to know somebody, either. 9 times out of 10, I'll find that they're not a jerk, even right. if I think they are.
Yeah.
When I first meet them, you know, if I really get to know them, I mean, to get to know somebody is predicated on the idea that I have to talk to them.
What I have to be careful with sometimes is I can read people pretty well most of the time, but I don't want to get so cocky and confident that because I have read people before and read them all wrong. And you've interviewed so many people, you can pick up on people. Probably a lot of their background, their thinking, where they're just in a moment, and then that's pretty easy to do. A friend of mine was telling me the other day, he was in a hiring meeting, and they were talking about applications and how you have to be blank in your assessment. You have to look at what's in front of you, and. One lady spoke up and said, well, I'll tell you one thing. I can smell a conservative coming a mile away before they ever fill out an application. And I thought to myself, wow, what an assumption. And that's not a good assumption. And just those type of attitudes have really hurt our country. The same thing if someone says, I can smell a liberal coming a mile away. I'm just saying that we should approach people as they are. You know, there's reasons people think the way they do. And there's always, like I said, there's always a backstory in someone's life. I've got another friend that has a really hard time trusting people and really gets worked up when they feel like they're being played. And it's because they had been played many times as a young person and as a young adult, and they just have this phobia of when they start to read that someone's playing them, it just, everything else goes away. And so I think there are times when we have to understand a lot of someone's background. You know, when I was in Bolivia and in a jungle village, I certainly wasn't going to expect them to talk and act and like I do, because they've got a different story completely. Well, here in America, we run into that too. I tell my kids, when I've told them this several times in FCA and in Pizza with Pastor that we do at the church, which is for the kids. I take the kids for pizza and they tell me what they want to talk about. But I tell them, you know, when you have a kid come up to you in school and they're really being those kids that are really kind of being a jerk, you better realize you don't know what they just left at home.
You know, I'll tell you, this is a very interesting subject, because I have two instances, and I won't say who the people are. It wouldn't matter anyway at this point. But when I first started in radio years ago, live radio is live radio, and you're being paid to do it. This was my first job, so I was very cognizant of what was going on. But I always liked to have guests. I always worked in talk radio. I was never a DJ.
Right.
So you'd have a guest come in at 7:30, and you're asking them, you're inviting them, you want them in there, you're very interested in what they have to say, but you only have 5 minutes between the break. When goodbye, thank you for coming in today, and I have to go back live in 5 minutes. Sometimes they want to talk, and it sounds like you're rushing them along.
Oh, that's the worst feeling.
And you're even putting the headphones back in because you're trying very politely to say, you know, I have to go back here.
Right.
And that sometimes that comes off wrong. It can be read very wrong. And you'd love to sit there and talk to them for a half hour. You just can't because of the way the day's structured.
It's interesting. I was talking to, we had a meeting at the church last night, and I was talking to our deacons and elders, and they all have families that they're assigned to, essentially. and they become become close to those families. They know those families, and they're kind of their first resort when they need to deal with something. And then that from that point, if it needs to come to me, it can come to me. And it's very difficult because when that doesn't take place in that order, people that have ridden with me during the day will say, "My word, can you just throw that thing out the window? It's constant messages, constant calls." And I say, "No, I can't, you know, because I don't want to hurt anyone, and I love everyone." But yet at the same time, many times I know people can feel me rushing them off the phone. And that's the worst thing that you can put out there, because I'm not rushing, but yet in a way I am rushing them off the phone, because I'm multitasking so crazy that I need to rush them off the phone. And so people can have a misperception, I suppose.
Oh, and the worst in that is when you have, and you really do care what they have to say, but you come in because you're trying to get to the end, and you say, "Well, it was good talking with you," and then they go into a whole other thing that they wanted to say, and you know now that they think that you're rushing them, because you've already said, you know. And one that happened has nothing to do with that, but it was just an odd occurrence. The first year of this radio station, because we like having people in to do shows who aren't necessarily from the radio world.
Right.
And we had a gentleman come on the station, and he did a weekly show. And he came to me like the third show in and said, he listened online to the repeat. And he said, "I don't like how my show sounds." So I went back and listened to it to figure out what the problem was, and he was not sitting close enough to the mic.
Oh, like
so but it was really a worry to him. And I said to him, I went back and I told him that. I mean, why wouldn't I be honest? And the next time I saw him, I said, "Well, pull the mic a little closer. Pull the mic in, or pull yourself into the mic." And he just would not do it. He would lean back, and you know, he'd be back here, and he just couldn't stay on the mic. And eventually we got past that, because I think he finally figured, after enough times of me saying lean into the mic and he knew he wasn't, that was the problem. But I wasn't trying to be, I was trying to help his problem, but I think he saw it as rude that I couldn't magically put a mic around his neck.
Well, and you know, well, the funny thing is, too, is that people don't realize that a lot of people go wireless, and with wireless, you can move anywhere you want.
Right.
But it's very, the problem with wireless versus wire, like we have here today, is that you have a really hard time not picking up strong signals outside of where you're at. And I do not want to be, I've been in the, my, used wireless in the church, and I've been using wireless, excuse me, and a semi will go down 47, and the guy will be talking on a CB radio. Next thing you hear is "Breaker, breaker, good buddy," yeah, coming across in the church. It's like, wait, this won't work.
And one of the big things about AM radio and 90% of talk radio that you will see, the reason they use corded mics is if one would go out. Sometimes they have more than one guest. You know, 1 hour they'll have one guest, next hour they'll have four guests. And if your battery dies in the middle of you're in big trouble.
Yeah, these things are pretty well bulletproof almost.
Yeah.
And people's perception of you is important. So I want to tell people, even if you're a shy person, be kind. Scripture does not let you off the hook if you're shy, if you're an introvert. It doesn't say, because you're shy and because you're an introvert, you can appear as nasty as you want to anyone. You don't have to smile when they smile at you. Yes, you do. And you can be as shy as you want, but you can break a smile. You can say good morning to someone. Practice it in the mirror. If you're that afraid, practice it in the mirror. Because it's very hard to share with people that you love the Lord, that you love, you know, people, and because of what the Lord's gift to you is, that it brings that love out, and then you act like, I don't want anything to do with you. There's a difference between being very shy and introverted, to where you may even, your heart may begin racing around people. That's hard. But you can still be smile and say a kind hello.
Well, it's funny because there was a time where there was somebody who, it's a complicated story, but this is, it comes to what you're saying, is that there was a person who did not like somebody who I was associated with. I'd always been friends with them. I was fine with them. Never had a bad word with them. But they did not like somebody who I was also dealing with at that time. So they never said anything negative about me, but our relationship got more distant than it had ever been. And somebody said to me at one point, they said, well, you're going to, it was just somebody I have to deal with in town. And they said, well, you're going to run into him again. What's going to happen? I said, it'll be fine. Why would I treat him any differently than I always have?
Right.
You know, yeah, I'm aware that there was tension because of that, but it does, I'm still going to address him the same way.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny, when you're a pastor out there, please listen to this. Sometimes I get rushed at the door. Someone grabs me at the door and wants to have a longer conversation than shaking people's hands going out will allow, or in COVID times, just speaking. And people think, wow, he was rude. And no, I try to smile. And then if the conversation ends quick enough and they're still on the steps, I'll peek my head out the door and say, sorry, I'm glad you were here. I was talking anyway. But I can remember a time, a couple instances. One time several years ago, our church had the church I was attending at the time, had a like a 100th anniversary or something like that. And they called all the former pastors back that Sunday for the celebration that had been in this church. Well, it so happened that one of the former pastors had left there and had gone to pastor another church in Delaware. And I attended in a very spotty way that church as a kid. I had a girlfriend that went there, okay? And I was probably not in the best place at that time as a youth anyway. But anyway, they had this reunion, and this pastor came in, and we were shaking hands with the pastor at the door. And I said, good morning, good to see you, and I spoke his name. I said, I don't know if you remember me, but I'm Steve Whitaker. And he said, I know who you are, I remember, and wouldn't shake my hand. I thought, you got to be kidding me. This is a pastor? This is 30 years later? And then at one time that stood out to me really strong when I was in my early 20s, my brother came in town with some others, and we went to church with my little sister, and I don't know what the deal, I honestly don't know why or what the deal was, but he's greeting everyone at the door, and he got to me, and he just kind of put his hands down at his side and went, just a blank face. Well, good morning to you, too. Now, let me ask you a question. In both those instances, would that person that was in front of that person ever put stock in one word they ever said again? See, that's the point. The point is, when you are rude, when you are, I don't need that person, or I don't have time for this person, and it's obvious that you're just not in their group, whatever. How in the world are they ever going to stand up in front of a congregation or a teaching situation or anything like that and say, you know, I really care about you guys, and I want you to get this, and I want you to understand this? Uh-uh. Like, everything they did at that point seems to overshadow any good that would come out of them. Now, to give you an example of that, I just repeated those two stories, and it obviously stuck with me because I remember them. And I'm not saying that I have a lack of forgiveness. I wasn't ever angry with them, so I really didn't have anything to forgive them for. But in my mind, it was like, wow, you know, what's he doing up there? Is this a play he's putting on? You know, I mean, you don't go from one to the other that way. And another friend of mine shared a very similar experience he had when he met a pastor at a church. And it was very much a hands down like this, I know who you are kind of a thing. And it was, quite frankly, he had gotten out of the service and was living a pretty wild life. And you know, those are the people you want to reach out to, embrace. Don't these people know the story of the prodigal son? You know, the father ran to him to meet him. You know, go kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a celebration. Give me my signet ring to put on his hand. And then the other son that was there, that had stayed there and worked with him said, well, this isn't fair. I've been with you the whole time. You're not treating me like that. And the truth is, the moral of the story is that when one lost person comes back to where they're supposed to be, what a joyous time that is, and you're to embrace it. You know, just like, you know, God loves when people come to him that have been living in a horrible place because he never wanted them there in the first place. And, you know, the prodigal son had gone out to get his inheritance. He'd have blown it. He ended up feeding pigs and basically eating what they ate to stay alive. And finally said, you know what? I need to go home. That's the whole thing. When people, you never know what your attitude is going to do to somebody. And so many times people have said, oh, that person, boy, what did I do to them? I'm not going back there again. And you didn't do anything. And what's worse yet is they didn't even recognize that they did anything. But it's the attitude that comes forth sometimes. We really got to work on that attitude and how we come across to people.
You know, that's interesting, though, because that can work the other way, too. Sometimes you are a conversational person. You are a talkative person. And how many times have we heard, I did not like the tone of your voice. I did not like how you talked down to me. I hear those a lot. This person talked down to me. I always hear it after meetings.
Well, I think sometimes that people are confident in what they're saying, and that can be misconstrued as talking down to someone.
Confidence and arrogance are very close, but they are different.
They're different. One is you're very confident in what you're saying. You don't waver. You're unequivocal in what's coming out of you, and that's a very confident thing. But arrogance adds this little thing to it. It sits back and says, I don't really care what you think. I mean, sign reading. I'm not talking about verbally. It's like, I don't really care what you have to say. Or maybe that person is, you're in that discussion, and you kind of roll your eyes or look around or when they're talking. Or you say something, they say something you obviously don't agree with, and the minute they say it, you go, or, you know, they pick up on that. And I think that we need to give everyone their day in court, so to speak.
You know, an eye roll will set people off. And, you know, a lot of time, though, an eye roll is really not... I think people are doing it accidentally. I don't even think they're meaning to do it.
I do that because I get called out on it. Don't roll your eyes at me. That'll be a family member. I did. And sometimes when I'm thinking, if they're talking, I think about something, I'll go like this, and I look up. As I'm thinking, like I'm looking at my brain, how silly is that? But, you know, you look up or something, and they see that as that. But I guess what I'm saying is, look, if you're going to do anything good, if you're going to try to share, you desire to share the love of Christ with everyone, if you desire to be kind to your boss at work, be kind to coworkers, be kind to neighbors, make it a conscious effort to pay attention to how you're reacting to them. And Who do they see when they say you? Do they see somebody that they see get in the church in the car every Sunday with their Bible in hand and back out to head to church and then gripe at them over the fence? Or do they see somebody that gets in the car, goes to church every Sunday, and is the best neighbor you could ever have? Which one is probably going to lead people to follow you? I would say the second one. And we got to be careful not to do that, not to get that attitude up.
You know, this was a tough week for a lot of people in Marion. And it's interesting that, because I know this subject was not planned for this particular reason, but in the last 2 days, we saw a husband and a wife, a teacher and a judge, be escorted in handcuffs out of a courtroom for 2 years in prison. And it was their first offense. To my knowledge, it was the only thing they had ever, either one of them, had ever done wrong in their life. And it was a single decision that was made on a single night.
If there's ever a lesson here, it's face the music and come clean. We were talking about this yesterday in the gas station. You know, that's what we do in Hooterville.
That's exactly. We do it here,
or
too.
Or Mayberry.
You do it everywhere, yeah.
Anyway, we're talking about, you know, the sad thing is that incident happened. If they would have called the police immediately and said, we've had a horrible accident.
That's it.
And one of them had an OVI, say that was the wife, that was driving, and the passenger would not have had a breathalyzer because they were not driving, but they would have charged them with operating a motor vehicle while intoxicated. They would have gone before a judge. They might have gotten a 6-month license suspension and had to take some remedial training, but neither one of them would have lost their jobs.
I don't even know if it would have been that bad. To be honest with you, I don't know. It is so stark to me that happened that way. But I'll tell you, talking about how people come across, that morning, the morning of the sentencing, nobody really did know. I mean, I talked to people who were in the know in this town, and they said, we don't know. You know, it is their first offense. We really don't know. And when it came time, because you do have a chance to say something before you're sentenced, when she got up and he got up, and I talked to the prosecutor and the sheriff the next day, who saw the same video I did, and they both said the same thing, and I heard it all day long. They came across so bad in those moments. You know, I haven't heard it. Well, the paraphrase was, and this is not word for word, and people can watch it, her paraphrase was, the pandemic was going on, I was having to teach remotely, rioting was going on, and this was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Oh, wow.
It came off horrible.
Let me give you a play. She could have got up and said, you know what, I've made a horrible mistake in my life, and I take full responsibility for it, and I grieve for any pain I put that person through or any of our families, and from the bottom of my heart, I'm sorry. And whatever is deemed I have to do, I will do. Now, that would have come across completely different.
Well, and when you think it couldn't have came at any worse of a time, he gets up, a judge who has heard alcohol trials, drunk driving trials, and says, I did what I did because of the frame of mind of my wife, and I did not direct her to leave, incite her, I think was the word he used. I did not incite her to leave the scene of the crime that night. And I'm having trouble sleeping.
Wow. I mean, those are both, what those both are unrepentant statements. Still not admitting that they did a horrible, egregious thing. And someone could have died. And that, I'm sure, is the way the judge heard it, too.
Everybody did.
They just made their sentence right there.
Oh, it was awful.
I would be surprised if he had decided to hand down that sentence until they said those statements.
Well, it was interesting.
Probably had some stuff in the wind. And, you know what? With that, maybe they need 2 years to humble themselves. I hate to say that. And I hate to see people lose their careers. I don't know. Do they have kids?
Oh, yeah.
And who's going to take care of the kid? Family, I suppose.
It's a sad thing. And the thing of it all is, you know, they both, I don't want to say that they didn't mention the boy Colton, who was injured that night. They did in those speeches. They certainly did. But it's that they lumped it with that other stuff that I just said that made it sound so horrible. And you talk about perception, and I don't think they meant it. I don't think they meant it to come off that way. I don't think in their own head.
Cold.
Oh, it really to everybody. The people who knew him, you know, the prosecutor, the sheriff said on air, I mean, this is not off the air stuff, they said it came, they were shocked that they would do
Couldn't
that.
Their attorney had given them something better to say? I know they're supposed to speak candidly at those times, but I would, if I was an attorney, a defense attorney, I said, what are you going to say? And if they, I said, whoa, but maybe the defense attorney has got some issues too. I don't know.
Well, you know, the problem in the end of it is you talk about the kids, and they had to watch their mother and father led out in handcuffs. And as much as people don't like them right now because of what happened with this
boy, you've got to have a heart for those kids.
Well, but, you know, it is still one incident. It's a bad incident. But I really have to believe in my own mind they did not see it in that moment as leaving him there to die. That's how it comes down.
Right.
I don't think they thought that.
No, I don't either. They just wanted out of there.
They just wanted out of there. And that, to me, is the unfortunate part of that, mm-hmm. because that's what the rap is. You left this boy there to die, and unfortunately, that is true in a way, but I don't think that was their mission.
That wasn't their game.
No.
Not at all. But, you know, it brings back to the thing of we have to be willing to face the music. You know, a lot of people are traveling down a bad road, and they don't want to stop and do that 180. They don't want to, I think I'll go to church, but nah, I better not. I don't want to face all this stuff. I don't want to feel guilt. You're feeling guilt anyway, or you wouldn't even have thought you needed to go to church. But you've got to make that decision. You've got to have that repentant heart at some point in your life that, you know, what I've been doing is not working. And there's so much of that out there. You see, you know, I see ladies praying for their family members their entire life because they're just on a wrong path and they can't see it. And I do say that our reaction to those people needs to be one of love and compassion, but it does not need to be one of enabling. Sometimes we look at it as enabling, as compassion, and it's really not. Enabling a lot of times lets you feel good about something you did for that person, but it really is not helping the person.
Well, I will say this, just to tie a knot in this what has been a very interesting week for this community, because as I said yesterday, I find it in the history books. I've never heard of an elected official, politician, city council person ever let out in handcuffs like that. I don't think it's ever happened. But beyond that, after the sentence came down, the vitriol from people who don't know these people. I can understand you're angry at what happened, but that you could be happy that two people who did one bad thing were going to incarceration for 2 years, a mother and a father, their kids are going to be left without that.
Their finances are gone.
They're gone. It just, to me, is, I don't, you know, you can think it's right. I give you that. Your opinion can be that it's right that they go to prison. But that you take such happiness and can joke, and they do on social media about that, I don't find that funny.
I don't either. And I think that the odd thing about that is that he didn't. One of them was not driving drunk.
That's true.
They were in the passenger seat. But they got the same sentence. Because I guess they were co-conspirators, right?
Well, the judge laid that out very interestingly. I think she was very thorough in doing that for a reason. And it was her big hang-up was that there were so many witnesses that saw them both walk over to the car. And that's her big problem. You both walked over. You both knew he was injured. And you both left. That it wasn't so much about driving drunk, because that was never proven, and who really knows?
Was he conscious?
You know, I don't think so, because I know they had the jaws of life had to get him out. I know the airbag had deployed. That though they could both walk over there and see him in that condition and still wait 9 hours to tell anybody. That was, I think, why they got the same sentence.
I do want to tell them something though, that, you know, God sees our ills, our wrongs, and he's there to forgive. And you can start a new life in jail and a life and walk with Christ and accept his free gift of salvation and repentance from everything because of his sacrifice. And with that, you know, you can start fresh. You don't have to worry about what people say about you. You can trust him for the outcome. You know, one thing I've learned in my life that's really important is that we need to many times realize that we can start fresh. And we can lean on God for a lot of things. I found in my life, when there's things that I have no control over, if there's a public perception, if someone has unjustly treated me or said some things, or they've been a, let's tear this guy down in the community attitude, whatever the reason being. When I've given those to God and say, you know, God, this is beyond my control. It is. Because the minute you start defending yourself, people think, it's really ironic because people will say, if you don't defend yourself, they say, well, he must be guilty. He didn't even defend himself. If you do defend yourself, then it's, well, he's coming out and saying this and that and trying to defend himself now. You can't win. So the only one that can win is God. And you give it to God and say, God, I can't deal with this. I'm dealing with you. And you deal with it. I'm giving it to you. And it's really amazing. Whenever that's happened in my life, the truth has come out. And I've been vindicated of whatever it was in the public perception of whatever that person did. It may have only been 3 or 4 people involved in the whole thing, or 10 or 20 or 30 or 40. But at some point, I've always told people this, when they get upset about things that have been said about them or wrongs that have happened, I always tell them that it's like cream in milk. It will always rise. The truth always comes to the top. Just give it to God and sit back and let it go, because it's going to, and keep carrying on your life the way you're supposed to. Don't run around defending yourself or bad-mouthing that person. Just carry on with your life. If you can find it within your heart to pray for that person, pray for that person, because it'll make you feel different about them too. And God takes those things and he deals with them so well, better than we ever could imagine. And so I would encourage people to do that. If someone is speaking of you in an ill manner, won't let something go, digs up dirt that they think they can, whatever, just give it to God with a clean, pure heart and let him take care of it.
You know, it's amazing to me, though, how people who are being attacked, how differently it's handled. Some people, it really bothers them. They can't function in a way. They've got to respond. They've got to threaten. They've got to go to lawyers. They've got immediately. And you know, that I
threaten to sue.
Oh, my goodness. It really eats them alive. They think about it night and day.
It's because, let me say this from my standpoint as a believer in Jesus Christ, it is because they are deriving their self-worth from people's perceptions in the world. I derive my self-worth through Jesus Christ, who told me that I'm one of his, that I'm one of his children, that has told me that he died for me and he'll never leave me, he'll never forsake me. That's where I derive my personal who I am from. And when people, you know, drive it, when they pull it and everything about themselves comes from what's this person think, what that person think, you know, keeping up with the Joneses type thing, the curb appeal of your house, you know, what you drive, you know, you have to look a certain way. And when that gets threatened, your whole world's collapsing around you. This is why millionaires dive off bridges when they lose everything, because that's where their self-worth was. And the thing that I'd like people to understand is, even if you're in that position of losing everything, of people just attacking you from all sides, you really can find peace and rest in Jesus Christ. And, you know, my point is that when you give it to God and you turn your self-worth from being, the scale is guided by the world and the scale is guided by God, you suddenly feel that, okay, I know all this is going on, but it's secondary to my God that loves me. And then you can spend your time in there, draw closer to him, read his word, and you can have your life restored. Someone's always going to remember you as a bad, oh, that rotten, blah, 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 you know. But I will tell you something with both of these people. If they went to jail, when they came out of there, had so much love and compassion for people that it was radiant, and they started working to do what was right, a lot of those voices that were taking digs and shots are going to turn around and say, you know what, they're not all that bad. They learned, you know, they learned a hard lesson, but they learned it. And I will say this to people, too. This is an old saying that everyone's listened to. But for the grace of God, there go I. Because I want to tell you, there's very few people that haven't driven drunk. There's very few people that haven't made horrible decisions at a wrong time. And on it goes. Just because you haven't been caught doesn't mean you're not guilty.
You know, in this whole thing, one thing I heard sometime that has always has stuck with me is that we are all human beings on this planet, and if you have the ability to do it, I have the ability to do it. Doesn't mean that I'm going to do it, but I have the ability
Absolutely.
To do it. So in this case, not only driving drunk, which people have done, but if I am out there on that road and I am driving drunk and I cause an accident and it looks like, my goodness, that person might even be dead, and I walk over to the car, it is in me to turn around and get in that car and go away. Now, is that what I'm going to do? I'm not saying that. But it's in us. Because we all are human, and to err is human.
Amen. What time is it?
We got about 2 minutes.
Real quick story I'll tell you about what I just said, about but for the grace of God. My brother's watching. He would know this story, too. Andy and Mitzi Costco, two of my parents' best friends when they were very, very young. They came. Andy and Mitzi came home from a party one night, and they'd been drinking. And I don't know what was said or what happened. He was not a wife beater. But somehow they got in an argument, and it got heated, and he swung and he hit her in the temple with the back of his hand. She died right then and there. He took her to Delaware. This is down in Columbus. Took her to Delaware, buried her, told the family that she'd just run away, that she was gone. No one ever thought a thing other than, wow, why did she leave? A year later, his conscience gets him. He calls, says, look, I did it. They go make him. There was a picture in the Delaware Gazette years ago of him with a shovel. The sheriff's had him exhume where he said she was himself. Now, this is a wife that he loved. He's got to exhume her. Bottom line is, he goes to prison. He gets out on early release and was very repentant of what he had done. And his life was salvaged. But my point is, whatever you've done, come clean. Come clean. You know, it's don't let things be a monkey on your back or carry something around that you're always afraid of. It will destroy who you are. Hey, I'm Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship. Our service times are 10:30. We are at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, and phone number is there, 740-494-2222. Final word, Scott?
This show will repeat on Sunday morning at 8:10 a.m. and Wednesday afternoon at 3:15. And don't forget, you can get it on the website, WWGH1071.com, and we'll be back next Friday at 11:15 a.m. Eastern Time.
Thanks for watching, David.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP Marion, Ohio, the place to talk. From legendary comedian Abe Vigoda.
Can you still recite Shakespeare?
Yes, methinks I am a